Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday? Well, come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Browns. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Old National Bank. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's go to our phone line.
Jukebox alert. It's Friday. Who's got the music today?
You do, Willie.
So pay special attention. That was from Motown for you, D-Mace. Jack White, Detroit guy, and Nashville guy. He actually lives in Nashville, I think, still, but Detroit roots.
There we go.
Well, let's bring in Mitch Light of The Athletic on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hi, Mitch. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I don't know. I don't even know if Willie knows this, but when I was a young teenager, for some reason, we had a jukebox in our house. And if Willie could see the 80s one-hit wonders and the 80s song we had, I think he'd be more happier than if like you threw a box of 80s baseball cards at him. We had just classics in there.
Oh, man. It sounds like a great party, Mace. I mean, Mitch, to get over there and have baseball cards in the jukebox, I mean, that's my kind of show right there.
It's exactly. So yeah, I wish I really would have taken a picture of all like 80 songs that we had on there, and it was glorious. But I don't think you guys had me on to talk 80s music. So,
Mitch, if there's two things that I love, one, it's chaos, and two, it's Duke. So Duke winning the ACC title tomorrow against UVA, I think would throw the college football playoff into maximum chaos. So double the pleasure. For me, part of me wonders, Mitch, if ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips is going to wear a UVA shirt underneath his suit tomorrow because of what it could mean for the ACC if Duke wins and possibly gets shut out of the CFP. How likely do you think that is if Duke wins that zero ACC representatives make the 12-team field?
My guess is he's wearing Virginia boxers, a little more subtle.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a fun storyline to talk about, but I do not envision that happening. If Duke wins, for all of the making fun of Duke and rightfully so losing to UConn 7-5 record, they will have a win over Virginia on their resume. And if you look at James Madison's schedule strength and the teams they've beat, like I don't have it in front of me, Louisville's like the only top 80 team or whatever they've played. Now they played them pretty well. I think it would have to be a huge difference in the two teams and all the metrics for the committee to put a second G5 team over the ACC championship game winner. And I think if Duke wins this game, I think it won't be close. Like, I don't think the gap would be big enough. Like stumbling through this, I think Duke will play in the college football playoff if they beat Virginia. But I don't think they will beat Virginia, but I think they would make the playoff.
The Big Ten title game tomorrow, undefeated Indiana versus undefeated Ohio State. What is the Hoosiers' path to victory against the Buckeyes tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a fun game. Obviously, two undefeated teams. Is it the game of the century like it would have been in a 4-team playoff era? Maybe not, although you could argue the loser would still go there. It's going to be all the cliches. They can't turn the ball over. Like, look at the Oregon game. Their biggest win in the Kurt Cignetti era, they threw a pick six and were still good enough to overcome that on the road. They're not good. No one's good enough to do that against Ohio State. Ohio State's the most complete team. They're the most balanced team. The emergence of Bo Jackson, their freshman running back, whose real name is Lamar Jackson, so he's either Bo Jackson or Lamar Jackson. It gives them some offensive balance, maybe not like we saw last year with their backfield. I just think Ohio State's too good. They can't turn it over. But I'm interested, just like all of us, to see, because we know it's not like last year where, like, is Indiana really good? No, we know Indiana's good. They've proven it. But are they good enough to play with Ohio State? We're going to find out. My guess is no, but I don't think they're going to get blown out.
Now, Mitch, I'm sure everybody's looking at that game and they're saying, well, Ohio State, you just said Ohio State's the best team in the country, at least the talent-wise. But how far, if Indiana beats Ohio State, does Ohio State drop out of the top four, or do they stay, you know, ranked high in a scenario like that? Because you got a team that's facing the number two team in the country. How far can they realistically drop? But if you base it on what the committee has done in prior weeks, it could be a a pretty significant drop for Ohio State if indeed they do lose to Indiana, or vice versa if Indiana lose to Ohio State.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you want to look at their resume, if they lose this game, you say, okay, who's their best win? It's Texas, probably, not a playoff team. They beat Penn State. Penn State's not very good. They won at Washington, decent win. So they wouldn't have any really good wins in their resume, but at some point you just got to be a football observer and know that they're probably still the best team in the country. In all their metrics and all their computer, all the stuff, they're still going to be really high. So my guess is they would drop to 3 or 4, but and still get a bye. Conversely, if Ohio State blows out Indiana, that would be my concern. From if I'm the Big Ten, like, does Indiana drop from 2 to 5 if they get blown out? I don't see a scenario where Ohio State drops out of the top 4.
Do you think Vandy suffered a little bit from what Indiana did? Now, Indiana still got into the college football playoffs last year, but people still question whether Indiana was a good team. They came back the next following year, and look what they are at. So people truly believe in what Cignetti is doing. Do you think that's the same thing with Clark Lee and his team? Even though last year was a good year, this year was a much better, a great year, it's next year is going to be the year for Vandy when you're talking about committees.
Yeah, that's a great question. I've kind of come around on this a little bit because, unlike you, Derek, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I've kind of downplayed the whole, oh, they're getting no respect. I've come around on a little bit where it's just, I don't know if it's the committee. Like, I think most people that watch football and most fans can look at Vanderbilt and say, that's probably a top 10 team. Mm-hmm. They're good enough. They played with teams. Their losses are, quote-unquote, good losses. But I don't know, in that committee room, is it taking some people some time to come around on them? Like, I get that all the points make about team, you know, did they beat Tennessee too bad? Tennessee mm-hmm. falls out. Like, this isn't really your question. But, like, the committee, I want to have faith in the committee because you can poke holes in Vanderbilt's resume. You can say they haven't beaten the top 25 team. I get all that. But when you listen to the people that are doing the rankings and they credit Alabama for being gutsy on fourth down and credit them for a big win on the road at a rival at Auburn, but don't credit Vanderbilt for a big win, a dominant win on the road at a rival, you kind of question the thinking there. So I don't know if I really answered your question. I think it's part of that is why Vanderbilt's not in the field. Mm-hmm. Part of it is just bad luck. They picked a bad year to be really good. I think this resume would have gotten them in last year. It probably would get them in next year. Just the way the math worked out with so many two-loss teams and the way their schedule worked out they really didn't have enough marquee games. They lost the Alabama game and they lost the Texas game. So it's a little bit of everything, in my opinion.
But isn't it saying something because we talked about this yesterday, when a voice like Nick Saban, and I know Nick, you know, after he said what he said weeks later, he finally said, hey, Vandy's, they're a damn good team. They're a good team. But when Nick comes out and still has that apprehension on really believing, you know, Vanderbilt has turned that corner, when he says that on national television, doesn't that sort of persuade the committee? Because you're talking about a guy that is probably the most powerful coach in college football, and he ain't even coaching.
Yeah. I think that's a very fair point, and it kind of shoots a hole in my anti-conspiracy theory to a degree.
Yes.
There's a sentiment in some people, and I'm the same way when mm-hmm. I was sports. There could be a basketball team that comes out of nowhere, and you're like, oh, they're not very good, when they might, in fact, be good. I want to say one more thing about, like, resume and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I think Oklahoma is a good example. Like, I think Vanderbilt's just as good or better than Oklahoma. Oklahoma has an elite defense. Vanderbilt has an elite offense. Oklahoma has won two huge road games. Well, maybe winning at Tennessee is not a huge road game, according to the committee. I take that back. They've won two road games in which they were badly outgained, but they won the games. That's the object of the sport. They won the games. Their resume is better than Vanderbilt's. I think Vanderbilt might be a better team. That's Vanderbilt's problem. Even though the teams we think they might be better than, those teams, by certain degrees, have better resumes.
Mitch, before we get to Willie, will you ask him if Hunter Yurecek is on his Christmas card list?
Hunter Yurecek did himself no favors. That's a thankless job. He's been, and my colleague Bruce Feldman has far harsher words for Hunter Yurecek in the committee than I do. But it really you lose faith in humanity when someone goes on ESPN and answers questions the way like he does.
No question about it, Mitch. And don't get me started, right? I'm trying to get over it. But, Mitch, I think this is the point. If you, because you're on the hot seat when you're, and you can't win because you have to explain why two or three teams that are deserving in a given year can't get in. We've seen it for decades, right? C.M. Newton was the guy on the committee chair for the NCAA basketball tournament for a long time. Different people. Most of them handle it as about as well as you can. But Hunter Yurecek, that was a new low for me. The justification of, well, they don't have a signature win because Tennessee has been knocked out of the top 25. It just made no, there's no logic. Like, I want to hear the argument, how tough it was to separate them and why they separate them. It's okay, right? Somebody's got to be unhappy. I could live with that. But they, he made up some stuff that made absolutely no sense. And how does he think that's going to float past anybody who has a brain?
That's why you're mad. That's why Clark Lee's mad. That's why I'm mad. College football fans, we can handle a rational discussion, irrational reasons. We can't handle someone going up there who's powerful. He's on the committee. He's the committee chair who clearly does not know what he's talking about or is not good at explaining things. And this is not his fault because it's, I think it's a committee parameter or whatever. But what is so magical about the top 25? Like, that's, it's like if you beat the number 26 team, you suck. Excuse my language. If you beat the number 24 team, you're a two seed. Like, it's just, it's not the way sports work. You just look good team, not good team. Why is that such a delineation? And I have a theory. Sorry to keep rambling on. I have a theory about why these committee members do not do well on TV. Like, it's not their job. Like, not that I'm like the most well-spoken or you guys are, but you, like, you're on the radio for a living. You have to, before you say something and before the show, you have to think about what you're going to say. As Willie knows, in my previous job at Athlon Sports, I did tons of interviews talking about rankings. I thought about things. I knew what I was talking about. I could speak about all the stuff rationally. These guys are athletic directors. They don't. They do interviews talking about Arkansas and whatever, but they don't have to go in front of them, get in front of a microphone and smartly talk about rankings and teams. They do it 4 or 5 times a year, and they don't do it very well. Maybe my theory is dumb, but I just think like he probably has a big ego, and he's like, I'll just get on there and start talking about these teams, and doesn't realize that he's not making sense.
But it also, I would take it one step further. I think they know how tough it is, the committee as a whole, and I'm not singling out Yurecek, who has to be the spokesperson. But it seems like they look for ways to simplify it. How do I keep Vanderbilt out of the discussion? Because it gets complicated if I've got to really put Vanderbilt in the same box with Oklahoma. Like you were talking about, Oklahoma's resume versus Vanderbilt's versus Notre Dame versus all these teams. If you were to just start the process, if you had started that on Tuesday and hadn't had this week to week where you've got to have all these discussions, to me it would be a very different perspective. But instead, I feel like in that late in the game, and you had Vanderbilt make this huge argument, they put it all on paper, they sent it to the committee and said, take a fresh look at this. Look at things in a new way. But it was almost as if they went the other way, saying, oh boy, that's pretty complicated, man. Those are big numbers. Let me find a couple of numbers that just makes it easy for us to say, oh, Vanderbilt, they're not quite there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And the thing is, they say they start from scratch every week, which
that's
is
baloney.
BS, because like if they just came up with something radically different, how would they explain that? Like, how would they say a team going from
right? That's
to
I think
10?
They think about that. I would have to explain that, and that would be hard. People would be critical of that. So why try? And, let's just go off of what we did last week.
For all the people that complain about the weekly rankings, it's ESPN's fault if you want to blame. They want the show. They want the rankings. They pay so much money for this college football playoff. They want the show. Most people in college football, like powers that do not like this, do not like they do it. But it gets good ratings. It gets people like us mad. And we start talking about it. And it's good pub for college football. So these shows aren't going anywhere. And it's not like Hunter Yurecek decided to get his buddies together to have this weekly show. It's like ESPN is mandating this.
So Mitch, again, you're not a conspiracy theorist, but I think you're level-headed. You study this stuff. It really does appear that the TV ratings and the audience that you would have when Notre Dame plays as opposed to Vanderbilt does influence people. It just seems like it.
I disagree with that. SMU made the field around Alabama last year. Yes. SMU made the field over Alabama last year. They've already paid billions for this. One, a couple games of Notre Dame or Vanderbilt versus someone isn't gonna move the needle. Like, it moves the needle as far as maybe a specific ranking. I would argue, though, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, wouldn't you want Diego Pavia in Vanderbilt? I mean, maybe not over Notre Dame, but aren't they a better story than Oklahoma? Or, I mean, Oklahoma's got a big fan base. So I you could tell me I'm wrong, I'm an idiot. I 100% do not believe that Notre Dame, maybe like it's brand recognition. It's the, they can't get past the Notre Dame. Well, I was going to say the logo on their helmet, but they don't have a logo on their helmet versus Vanderbilt. That,
the boldness.
But I don't think it's, oh, we need the ratings would be better. I 100% disagree with that. I understand if people want to disagree with me.
But there seems to be a benefit of the doubt for Notre Dame, and you always have to do this with them because they're not in a conference. But their schedule was weak, and
yep.
And they were never questioned about quality wins or anything like that. They just, hey, they're number nine. So how do you get around that?
I don't know. I'm going to steal an old Kevin Stallings phrase. I don't know if you ever heard this. He used to say, the problem with officials is they're human. Meaning, when Vanderbilt or if Kent State's playing Kentucky and two guys are going for a shot and the official in the back of his mind, he's like, the Kentucky guy probably didn't foul, or the Kentucky guy probably got fouled. It's like, it's just kind of what Derek was getting at earlier. It's just in the committee. They've been watching Notre Dame football for 30 years. They've been watching Vanderbilt football for 30 years. It's tough to get past the Vanderbilt might be better than Notre Dame hurdle. I don't think it's anything to do with, oh, Notre Dame rankings, ratings, all that stuff. I just think they started off with Notre Dame high, giving them benefit of the doubt for those two close losses, and then that's where they were ranked high, and they haven't dropped.
Mitch Light of The Athletic has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donicky. He joins us every week during college football season. Mitch, as always, a pleasure. Enjoy watching all of the conference championship games this weekend.
Go Cavs.
Mm-mm.
Have a good weekend.
If you want to be invited back, you should change that.
Do you promise? If I would have known that, I would have said anti-Duke stuff like 2 months ago.
Oh, that hurts, Mitch. That hurts. Have a good weekend, my friend. 615-737-1025. I read an interesting article on ESPN.com that posed the question, college football's new era of parity has arrived, but is it here to stay? Let's discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. DVD is presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com.